on the television just to watch the evening news. And what I saw on there made me want to crawl right through the tube, cause they were talking about this wedding, but they only showed two men. So I fired off this little email with some words just for them. Come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. Can't make a stallion, two bulls can't make a cow. It takes a male and a female for the species to go on, and there'll be no reproduction if the plumbing is all wrong. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. Well, we used to teach our children all about the birds and the bees. Now the world keeps telling them you can do anything you please. We need to get back to the Bible, back to the gospel truth, cause a million happy roosters won't make a single chicken. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that.
It's like playing by Braille. You have some.
What this dying world could use is a willing man of God who dares to go against the grain and works without applause.
A man who raised that shield of faith, protecting what is.
Doesn't need a speaker who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win.
He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, cry, men who'll face eternity and aren't afraid to die, men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
He calls the broken derelict whose life has been renewed.
He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth.
The enlistment lines are open and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion who'll laugh and love and cry. Men who'll face eternity
men aren't afraid to die. Men will fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
He's calling today. Calling today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're all doing well out there in YouTube land. And it looks like we got 40 people on here. And got a few things to talk about here today that interesting things that we'll kind of cover here and give you some ideas about where I sit on the issue of Christmas and why. I've talked about some of these things before and in years past. And then this year I've covered a few things here that will help you to understand where we're at scripturally with that subject. But then some other things too as well. So I don't know how far deep I want to really get into it. I really have other teachings out there that deal with it, that, you know, that we can talk about for sure, or that I have talked about in times past, but there are, issues that I have that I take with what people call Christmas and the spirit of Christmas that they call, which I think is a very odd thing to say, to be honest with you, when you start to think about it. You know, I don't think we really use that language for a lot of other things, but apparently we use that language to describe, I think we talked about how worship ought to be done in spirit and in truth, that all worship for God is done in spirit and in truth. It ought to be, if it's acceptable worship to the Lord, then it is in spirit and it is in truth. So I think that the best thing that I could tell you is that that should be your aim always, to follow the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I guess I'm going to share with you why I preach against Christmas, a few things that I think are inconsistent with what people say about it. That's part of it. And then maybe get into a few other things. I'm not sure how far we'll get today. We'll see who's all on here right now, how everybody's doing. Let's see here. Joe McDonald, he's on here. Let's see. The world is enmity with God. Eli Morgan, my wife is on here. Luke, Becca, Big Whale. Big Whale. Right? Big Whale. The Sullivan Kid. The Authorized Mike, not to be confused with the Unauthorized Mike. Jim Wilford, going down to the farm, going out to the barn. Let's see, Thomas Havis, Maritas, Rachel's on there, Luke. My dad's on there. Let's see. Scott Fenton. Good morning from New Zealand. In New Zealand right now, it is morning. Well, good morning. All right. Rock. Daryl and Teresa. All right, Lisa is on. Kate. Scott Fenton, yep, Anthony. Andrea bales. Does not bale hay, but lives in Iowa. It's important for you to understand that she does not bale hay, but she does live in Iowa. All right. Jacob. Carly. Good afternoon, Rock. Roke, whatever you call yourself. All right. So we got 54 people on here. Well, not on the chat, but Melissa says, I'm here. Just go on. Oh, just got on. I thought you were telling me to go on. Okay, well, where am I going? All right. Where's Carl? Carl's fishing. He's gone fishing to another country somewhere. Carl leaves the country all the time. He just goes to places, and you just never know. Carl's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Or where's Waldo? That's Carl, because one day Carl's there, and the next day he's like, oh, hey, I'm over here in Spain today. I'm like, how'd you get over there? So you never know where Carl's going to end up. He might end up at his grandpa's house. I don't know. He might. You never know where Carl's going to end up at. He's where in the world is Waldo? That's Carl. It's probably Carl's real name is Waldo. You never know that. Okay, let's see. Pierce Kennedy. Oh, Kimberly, sorry. I read that wrong. Jesse Scruggs. Well, if it isn't Jesse Scruggs, alias, he's kind of like a string bean. Jesse Scruggs is. That's what you could call him, is a string bean. Let's see. What if Where's Waldo is really about the French army looking for Peter Waldo? Well, that could be. I never really thought of that. I'm visiting Scotland in January. Wow. Good for you. Does anybody think this picture of J.D. Hall is funny? Hey, how do I get to that? I got to switch that, don't I? Let's see. I got to go to this one. That's how I get to that one. There we go. Look at that. Look at that picture of J.D. Hall. Is that funny? That's hilarious. He looks like the Grinch that stole the Southern Baptist Convention. Look at that. Look at that picture. Look at that picture of that guy. All right. I'm going to look at that book, but not today. We're going to look at that sometime soon. Anyway, all right. So everybody's on here that's getting on here for now anyway. And we'll start talking about this spirit of Christmas here that is so prevalent today. We're about at the biggest, most wonderful time of the year, right? Let's see if we can find that, right? Here you go. Maybe you play this your favorite song. Who knows what's going to come up? Nope, not that one. Here is this guy right here. Who in the world is that? Wow, that's loud. Is it, though?
Friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all.
Is it really the happiest season of all?
There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the...
Hey, what does scary ghost stories have to do with Christmas? Oh, maybe, Scrooge, right?
Glories of Christmases long, long ago.
I want to throw a snowball at that guy's head.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It Apparently, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But listen to his reasons why.
There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts...
Much mistletoeing? We've already looked at where that comes from. Hey, I got a book for you to look at. Watch this. Let's see. Let me transition here. Whoa, look at that. That's cool. You can check out this booklet. Santa Claus, Christmas trees, Easter bunnies, and colored eggs. Now, I agree with him on the Easter bunnies and colored eggs. I probably wouldn't agree with him on Easter because I already know what Easter means. Anyway, that's for another day. But I do agree with him. I do agree with him that Jason O'Brien loves this song.
We'll be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be. Right? It absolutely has to be the most wonderful time of the year because that guy, listen, you got to admit, I need a hat like that. Look at that hat. Tell me that hat's not a nice hat. Look. Who can argue with that, right? Okay, anyway, yeah. So they say it's the most wonderful time of the year, but they never say why. Although I do remember, you know, all of that. Franklin, are you related to heaven? Kevin? Good brother. I know. Franklin. Anyway. I do like eggnog. Hey, Eli, there's nothing wrong with eggnog. It tastes good. And I like cookies and eggnog. All right? I think, Kate, I think that hat would suit me. That's the exact one that you posted there. I want one of those black ones like that. I want a tall one like that. I forget what you call that hat, but I need one of those. That's what I need. One of those hats. Everybody wore hats like that. What are you talking about? Anyway. So, what is the spirit of Christmas there? And, you know, I think the first thing I want to kind of talk about is the word. The word Christmas. Because where that, I think one of the reasons, I guess the first reason why I don't celebrate Christmas, you know, number one, it's not in the Bible. The celebration of it isn't. And when you're talking about worship of the Lord, when you're talking about worship, I should change this. Watch this. Let's see. Watch me change this. There we go. I'm going to change that title. Hold on. It'll help bring some clarity. I guess the first reason I would say why I don't celebrate Christmas, the first reason is because I don't find it in the scriptures. I just don't find it there. And I think when you're talking about worshiping Christ, when you're talking about worshiping God, this isn't something secondarily, okay? So it's not really in the scriptures. So any type of worship that we do ought to be done in spirit and in truth. So I guess the first reason I would say from that standpoint is that I don't believe that it's according to the spirit of worship spirit and in truth when it comes to worshiping God. I don't believe that it is. I think that it, I think that there's a fundamental difference in when we're talking about worshiping Christ and worshiping God and in celebrating something else. Because here you are directly attributing the worship of this to God. So that would be the first reason. I would say the second reason it would be a matter of separation from Rome. I would say it would be a matter of separation from Rome. I would say that would be a very important reason, because today Roman Catholicism, teaches and is in agreement, incidentally, with many people today that many folks wouldn't agree with Roman Catholicism. But on days like Christmas and that, they'll celebrate the same type of worship and the same type of celebrations that have nothing to do with, really, the Christ of the Bible. It has nothing to do with the God of the Bible. So let me read you these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Second Corinthians 6:18. Or 1 Corinthians 6:15, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid." You know, I think there are many reasons why you and I should abstain from this so-called Christmas season, I believe, and the observance of it. One main reason is that we cannot find it in the Word of God anywhere, like I talked about. But there are other reasons. And I think one of the most important reasons, I would say, is the issue of separation from Rome. Now, Dr. Tabb here, he writes in this booklet, I'm going to read you some of this, what he says on his page 4 of this booklet. You can order this booklet. It's not expensive. But he says a few things here that are kind of important. The reason for the date of this ancient celebration was because the son of Isis, queen of heaven, was supposed to have been born on December 25th. This son was none other than Tammuz, the son of God in all mythology and pagan systems. Tammuz had different names in different cultures and countries: Adonis, Saturn, Horus. He was represented by the sun, a perversion of the sun of righteousness in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2. In other words, Tammuz was Satan's counterfeit of Jesus Christ. He is the same as Mithra. Now, Hyslop's two Babylons, which I don't agree with everything Hyslop says, because I think he's wrong about some things. But he says, as Christ in the Hebrew Old Testament was called Adonai, the Lord, so Tammuz was called Adon or Adonis, under the name of Mithras. He was worshipped as the mediator. As mediator and head of the covenant of grace, he was styled Baal-Berith, Lord of the Covenant. Some countries call Christmas Yule Day. Yule is Chaldee for infant. Thus, in paganism, it was called Infant Day or Child Day. It referred to the birth of Tammuz. Pagans called the night before Mother Night. That referred to the Virgin Mother who gave birth to the sun, S-U-N, that arose the next day. They baked the Nur cakes, that is birth cakes, baked to the Queen of Heaven. This was done on the 25th of December in honor of the Mother Goddess. December is actually the 10th month of the Roman calendar, corresponding to our 12th month. The cakes were dedicated to Baal, the sun god, who, according to mythology, was reincarnated in Tammuz on December 25th. No matter what mythology record one reads, whether that of Greece, Rome, Egypt, or Babylon, they all tell the same story. The only difference is that the characters go by different names. It is the counterfeit religion of Satan, and today it is known as Roman Catholicism. Hence, Catholicism is called Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The feast was celebrated in Rome in conjunction with the annual festival of Saturn called Saturnalia, a very licentious religious celebration. Interestingly, the planet named after the god Saturn has a halo. That is, it is encircled by rings significant to anyone who is a student of religion. The Feast of Saturnalia was established in memory of Saturn's benevolent reign. From the New Standard Encyclopedia, 1968. The immortal god Tammuz, the sun god, who was reincarnated at every year's end, was represented by the pagan symbol of eternal life, the evergreen tree. In Egypt, due to the absence of evergreens, palm trees were used. All other countries used evergreens. In Rome, a fir tree was used, and the god represented by the tree was called Baal-Berith, Lord of the Fir Tree, differing in only one letter from Baal-Berith, the Lord of the Covenant. Everywhere Baal, the sun god, was worshipped, he was given a compound name denoting the place where his idol was located. Even in Israel, the hearts of the people, hearts of God's own chosen people, were again and again turned from the true God to worship Baal. Truly, history does repeat itself, for we still find Baal worship among God's people today. What does Baal's Roman title, Lord of the Fir Tree, reveal? It reveals the fact that the tree described in Jeremiah 10 represents a god. Thus, in paganism, the tree was a visible emblem for the god which the tree represented. Baal-Berith was Lord of the Covenant. In other words, he was a pagan messiah. Okay, that was from Santa Claus, Christmas trees, Easter bunnies, and colored eggs. And you can order that from Foundations Ministries, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Anyway. But what else? Is there more? There is more. Have you ever considered that name? Let's see here. Have you ever considered the name Christmas? Like, just think about it, okay? Where did this name come from? Why is it used? Why is that name used to describe Christ's birth or the celebration of Christ's birth? consider why that name is used. Now, when I give you this information, I have friends that disagree with me. Can you imagine what's wrong with those people anyway? But I have really good friends that disagree with me. And they believe that they're celebrating the birth of Christ and that it's okay. Now, I'm not going to spend my life arguing with my friends, and I'm not going to spend my life separating from people that are wrong about some things when it's not, when if they're wrong about the doctrine of Christ, anti-Trinitarian, if they preached against Christ in the flesh, all those things, then I certainly would separate from them. But I think one of the problems is that Christians can be so absolutely mean to one another on differences and on things that are wrong, you know, that we can basically sit in a room by ourselves and there ain't going to be nobody else. You're just going to be by yourself. And that's fine if it's for the cause of Christ. It's not fine if you don't know how to deal with other people. So, because you're always going to have people that are going to disagree with you, contrary to what you might think. And they're going to be wrong, just like you're going to be wrong about some things. And you probably are, and so am I. And we're going to find out someday that we're wrong about some things. So if you throw everybody away in life that are wrong, I'm not talking about you know, damnable heresies and things of that nature. I'm talking about disagreements, and I'm not talking about dangerous stuff in that sense. I'm talking about most people today don't celebrate Christmas to honor paganism. They don't do that. All right, that's not what they're doing. And I get it. My point is that the worship is not accurate. It's not right. So Christmas is a compound word originating in the term Christ's Mass. It is derived from the Middle English Christmissa, which is from Old English, a phrase first recorded in 1038, followed by the word Christus Messe in 1131. And from Greek, Christos, a translation of the Hebrew, Messiah, meaning anointed. And Masse is from the Latin Missa, the celebration of the Eucharist. The form Christenmas was also historically used, but is now considered archaic and dialectical. It is derived from the Middle English Christenmasse, literally Christian Mass. X-Mass is an abbreviation of Christmas found particularly in print based on the initial letter chi, which is an X in Greek, Christos, Christ, though numerous style guides discourage its use. It's precedent in Middle English. That's where X-Mass comes from. The Catholic Church sees the Mass, or the Eucharist, as the source and summit of the Christian life, to which the other sacraments are oriented. The Catholic Church believes that the Mass is exactly the same sacrifice that Jesus Christ offered on the cross at Calvary. So, in other words, what you're saying is, Mary Christ's death. Mary Christ's death. That's what that word means. And that's what you're saying. So think about that for a moment. If I was saying Mary Christ's death, how is that even honoring his birth? Think about it. But there are a lot of things that you and I do that we don't think about when we do them. That we don't really critically think about them. We just do them. Right? And that's really what happens. And that's true about the Spirit. So, in other words, everybody says, many Christians, they come around, they believe that they're taking a stand for Christ because they don't say happy holidays. You hear that? Look, I don't say happy holidays. I say Merry Christmas. Like that's their hill to die on. Right? Like that's their stand for Christ. The problem is what you're saying is Mary, Christ's death. Perpetual death. Over and over again. Because that's what the Mass is. It's the sacrifice. And it really has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. Does it? It really has nothing to do with it. Now, I don't know that it's a great idea to spend your time, you know, making enemies with your family and, you know, getting into big knockdown dragouts over it. I think they could see that you don't celebrate. I think you can show them why. But at the end of the day, I mean, if they're either going to accept it or not. But one of the things that is a huge deal, I believe, is just the name alone screams Roman Catholicism. Right? Just the name alone. It screams Roman Catholicism. It has nothing to do Missouri mom asked me a question. What about pastors who do understand the history and really and reality of Christ Mass and still celebrate the name of Christian liberty? Then they do. You know? And you're always going to have disagreements. They're going to believe, they believe that no matter what those people do, I can still use it for God's glory. That's probably their argument. You know, I leave that to the Lord. That's what I do. I mean, because is this a reason to leave a church? No, I don't believe so. I don't believe it is. I don't believe it's a reason to walk away from a church because of this. I believe that many times it's a spirit of pride why people do that. See, I've known people that'll use any excuse that they can so they don't go to church. They don't submit to the authority of a local New Testament church. They don't submit themselves one to another. You know, I've seen people use these things, this thing in particular, as an excuse. You know, so I mean that's very popular. People use the truth and go the wrong way with it, or go too far with it. They go too far with it. In that sense, you can't go too far with the truth, but you go too far with how you deal with people. how you conduct yourself with it, right? Now, some people, they're just extremely offended because you told them the truth about it. You also have to give people some time to accept that. Probably the most productive time to do that is not a week before Christmas, just start hammering people that you know something fierce and making their lives extremely miserable. Probably not the best time to do that. You know? Probably not the best time to do that. Because of where it leads. They're not going to listen to you when their guard is up extremely. When their guard is like this, they're not going to listen to you. They won't listen to you. They're just going to like block it out. So the best thing, that you can do in that is present the information, present the evidence, and then let people do what they're going to do with it. That's really all you can do. Right. Somebody said after February they're paying their bills. Yeah. Let's see. Who else? Kate said, I love my church. They generally stick to the word, but I'm staying away through December as they are in full swing holiday mode. And I mean, if you choose to do that, I can't tell you what to do. If you have children, I've taught my children. So if we had to go somewhere and we were somewhere, I would teach. I've already taught my children what we practice and what we believe, and why we believe it. You know, and that's the case. I mean, I can still go hear the word preached and things like that. But I can understand the situation. That you find yourself in, if you have a conviction against that, then that may be a little bit more challenging. But at the same time, I have to have the right spirit myself when I'm bringing that. You know, when I'm bringing that information. Right. Anyway, so somebody's on there saying NASA lies and the Earth is flat. Okay. Okay. I don't know what that has to do with Merry Christmas, but I'm not sure. But anyway. Yeah, the Bible says learn not the way of the heathen. That's right. So anyway, so a lot of it is a separation from Rome. A lot of it is a separation from Roman Catholicism and its teachings. Which Christmas, is one of them. Revelation 18:2 says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils. And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, Luke just asked the question, Joe Goosens, what does that have to do with this? Well, you have to understand. You know how people talk about having the Christmas spirit? Flat earthers, they have the flat earth spirit. It's the most flattest Earth, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but it's the most flattest pancake of the year. It's the flat earth spirit. It's the flattest spirit. They can't help it. They have a spirit. And it's the spirit of flat earth that fills them. And they must evangelize for flat earth. Preach the flat earth. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering of the flat earth. For the time will come when they will not observe, they will not they will not endure sound flatness. They can't help it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the flat earth, giving heed to seducing globe spirits and doctrines of roundness. Do you understand that? They can't help it. They have a spirit in them. It's the flat earth spirit. So next time you see them, just know and look at them that they will endure flatness till the end.
Occupy the flat earth till I come.
That's right, Luke. Occupy the flat earth till I come. There's just something of excitement. When they see a flat tire, it excites them. So anyway, you have to understand that. They have to come on here and talk about the flat earth. It's a must. They have to. They can't help it. If you gave them flat pop, they would like flat pop or flat soda, if you call it that. Right? Flat pancakes. Flat frisbees. All right, so you have to understand that they have a spirit in them, and it's flatness. All right, Revelation 18:3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her flatness. No, that's not what it says. That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Does anyone have flat earth earmuffs? Flat earth hat? Flat earth shirt? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So you and I, we separate from teachings like that that are not correct. I will say this. I can handle people that celebrate Christmas more than I can the people that celebrate the flatness of the flat earth. Because the flat earth people, they're like, you just don't understand. The spirit of the flat earth. Anyway, so there. Ask yourself this question. How can people get so upset when you call out those things of Christmas and things of that nature? They call you a cult if you don't follow Christmas, if you don't believe in following it, don't believe in celebrating or whatever. You're automatically a JW, right? Remember that? See if I can find that. I don't see it. Well, they have a rendition of Spider-Man doing A Night Before Christmas. That'd be kind of weird. That'd be kind of weird, actually. Let's see here. There it is. I found it.
Santa is Satan. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and strange as it seems, I wasn't indulging in covetous dreams. But reading my Bible, I searched for a clue why Christians take part in this holiday too. I plainly could see that it carried his name, but the spirit behind it just wasn't the same. The song spoke of wise men, of virgin and child, of shepherds of God, and all men reconciled. But nothing was said of the blood and the cross, of repentance and faith, and of counting the cost. They sang of the babe, his miraculous birth, but not of the day when he'll judge the whole earth. My Bible said nothing of Santa or toys, of Frosty the Snowman and small drummer boys. A reference to Rudolph not once did I see, but it seems Jeremiah did mention the tree. I sat and I pondered this curious matter, when out on the roof there arose such a clatter, that I knew in a moment he soon would be here, so I prayed in the spirit and stood without fear. He slipped down the chimney, quick as a flash, and stepped from the fireplace all covered with ash. There stood Saint Nick with his bag and his beard. He looked at the Bible I held and he sneered. Another fanatical Christian I see, no stockings, no holly, no pictures of me. I asked him if Jesus was God in the flesh. He said that was something he couldn't confess. He said, I am Santa, I come from afar. I stood in the truth, the devil you are. That suit and that beard doesn't fool me one bit. Your jolly deception is straight from the pit. Beneath all your ho-ho-hos, Lucifer lurks, with your all-seeing eyes and your gospel of works. Like a thief in the night, you impersonate Christ, returning to judge the naughty and nice. So-called Christmas pagan, he said. That's okay, 'cause that's what my sons at the watchtower say. You'll look like a pagan or like a deceiver, but none will suspect you to be a believer. I said, I don't care what your servants will say. My loyalty lies with the Ancient of Days. No matter how many abuses are hurled, my Bible says be not conformed to this world. You have no power and no part of me, so I stand on God's word and command you to flee. He squealed like a pig that was stuck with a knife. He ran to the chimney and climbed for his life. And I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, Merry Xmas to all, and a long, dark night.
You gotta love it. All right, anyway. We understand that it's borrowed from paganism, right? That's what most of the teachings are. Now, you also people say that, well, we're celebrating it because of the birth of Christ. Well, it doesn't appear that's accurate. Now, I can't judge every man why they do celebrate that. I can't judge every man. So I don't know. But I will say this, that for the most part, I never celebrated Christmas because of Jesus. Like, I don't think I ever really did. I mean, I preached on those things when I still celebrated Christmas. I preached on those things, but I'm saying it was ingrained in me traditionally to celebrate Christmas, and you just, like, bought presents, ate fudge, drank eggnog, bought presents, got presents, ate lots of food. Right? I mean, that's kind of what we did, right? That's what I grew up doing, really. I mean, it didn't really have anything to do with Jesus. It had to do with materialism and what I was going to get. Isn't that really what it is? Is the materialism of it? I mean, I preached this a long time ago when I preached against Christmas, I talked about how the world hates Christ. right? That the world this time of year doesn't get more scriptural. They don't like Jesus anymore right now. They don't like Jesus, I can guarantee you. They don't like Jesus anymore right now. Right? Let's see, Black Friday 2019. Let's look it up here. All right, let's see. I mean, isn't you have Black Friday, which is the day after Thanksgiving, and everybody's running out going absolutely bonkers over all these deals. Right? Going absolutely crazy over these deals. I can't pronounce somebody's official name right there. They asked me, what is the purpose of this channel? The purpose of this channel is to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering a doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The purpose of this channel is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to call men to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and to help disciple those that are out there in the faith and grow them and build them in their most holy faith. That's the purpose. What's the purpose of your channel? Whatever your name is that I can't pronounce. If you can't tell by the title what the purpose of this channel is, you must not be paying attention very close. Anyway, so the point is that here's Black Friday, you know, 2019. I don't know if anybody got beat up or anything. Let's see if anybody got beat up. Not a lot of chaos there, it looks like. But check out, like, all the, like, let's see what the Black Friday dollar volume was. Let's see if we can find that. Let's see. Let's see if we find it. Okay, Black Friday shoppers spend record $7.4 billion. $7.4 billion. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that was all done in the name of Jesus' birth? Is anybody really fooling themselves into believing that? I mean, honestly, again, I can't speak for everybody else out there. I'm not saying there's some Christians that don't, but I can tell you that I never did anything really because of that. And I don't think most people do. Right? So I don't think that most people do that for that reason. And I think people fool themselves into believing that. The world hates Christ. Remember that sermon? Man. I wonder if I have that. Let's see. Hold on. Let me see if I can find that. There's another good one. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Want to see how mean I was back in the day? Let's see. Let's listen to this one. This is old school Pastor Cooley. Oh, I'm going to say something mean. I know I am. Dare I even play it, Luke? Dare I even play it, Luke, from 6 years ago? I'm gonna say something mean. I can guarantee you. Huh? I was. Let's play it.
Fine. Now, the title of this is Christ's Mass is not about the truth. It's not. It's not about the truth. What do you say that? Well, first let's start with the name. What does that mean, Christ Mass? You know that means death and not birth. What is a Mass? It's not a birth, is it? What is it, a celebration of the Eucharist? What is that? Death. So why would you say Merry Christ death? Now the world rejoiced over his death, didn't they? Think about that. The world rejoiced over his death. He said that you'd have sorrow, you know, because of my death, but others would rejoice because of it. They would be excited. They'd be happy about it. Well, listen, this is confusing. It's confusion. If you just say Christ, man, at Christmas, it has nothing to do with Christ in that fashion. It has nothing to do with his birth. So where does it come from? What is that all about? You know, I'm not going to get into that and the pagan roots of it really today. We've already discussed that in times past. But what I want to talk about is the truth is that the world does not want the truth. That is the truth. As we went out yesterday and preached the Word of God in the open air, the world proves Christmas is not about the truth. Everything around us, Brother Paul, that was going on, proved to us and proved, manifested itself, that it was not about the truth. No. Do you realize that we stood opposite of Santa Claus that was having little children sit on his lap? To sit on the lap of a complete stranger is very odd to me. Is that odd to you? Amen? Brother Russ, is that odd to you? It's odd to sit on anybody's lap at our age, but I mean, just, but for a child to play, that would be rather frightening. But it doesn't make any sense, does it?
Talk about memory lane, man. Wow.
To place your child on a complete stranger's lap you don't even know? Say, here, sit here. Look in the Bible what it meant to sit on someone's lap and what was done, like the father when he did that and how he blessed them and how Joseph set his sons on his father's lap and how they blessed him. And I mean, just think about some of those things and you get a correlation of what that's really all about. But do you know that Santa's little helper came over to me? This is a lady, and said to the and what she said to the preachers of God's word. Remember the ministers that were bringing good tidings of the one that came and gave his life a ransom. You know the supposed babe in the manger that grew up. You know the one you keep saying Merry Christmas about. This Santa's little helper. She's walking around saying Merry Christmas. This older lady, about 50 years old, 60 years old maybe. Yeah, that one. She said, could you please wait a half an hour till we leave until you start preaching? We don't want to hear that preaching now. Could you just wait? Sure. Okay, we did. I was polite. So what'd you do that for? So they couldn't say we came there to cause trouble. That's why. To give no offense. So I waited. I felt like it was wisdom, right, Brother?
See, I was a nice guy. That's a nice guy.
Paul we'll just wait. Brother Paul said, well, let's pray then. And we did. We spent a good amount of time, about 20 minutes in prayer. And we spent the other 10 minutes handing out some gospel tracts to people that were walking by. Then she said, hey, could you not even put those signs up? Could you just leave those signs out or just leave them down until we're gone? I said, no, we can't do that. No. That would be the Christian thing to do, she said. That would be the Christian thing to do. I said, no, we can't do that. Brother Paul said, no, the Christian thing to do is to show the scripture. Down, boy. Brother Paul's ready to go, man. He knew it. Brother Paul said to me, he sent me a text. He said, man, we're going to be in trouble today. I just have a feeling. I said, oh, great, brother. We're going to jail. I just know it. I thought it was coming. Right, Brother Paul? Yeah. That banner. Oh man, that banner. I mean, you can see that all the way down the block, both sides. I mean, it's like a beacon, bro.
Anyway, so,
brother,
let me see here.
We're not going to stop saying Merry Christmas. Oh, you patron saint, you. That's wonderful. Aren't you wonderful? We're not going to say Happy Holidays. We're going to say Merry Christmas. That's great. We gotta contend for the faith. Brother, fundamentalists actually mean they're contending for the faith saying Merry Christmas. You're not contending for anything. Except for the Mass. Except to show some Protestant Catholic roots. But other than that, it has nothing to do with it. So anyway, Paul preached about Christ, and a merchant came out and told me, this lady came out of her store and she was very upset. Man, she came out and she's, make him stop! She's yelling, make him stop! He's doing it all wrong! He's doing it all wrong! He's ruining the message! Like, lady, he's preaching. He's yelling. Like, how do you think Jesus preached to 5,000 people? You think he whispered? I mean, she wouldn't let me say that to her. I was wanting to say, I tried to, but she just kept going. I was like, well, how come you don't get mad at a football game? But she, I'm calling the police!
Somebody asked me, what would you do if I walked into your church with a sideways hat and said, what's up, Pastor C? I'd be like, yo, what's up with you?
off and ran to the store. Ran back into the store. Well, that certainly wasn't the Christmas spirit, was it? Yes, it was. If you understand what it is, it's the spirit of Antichrist. Come on, don't be fooled, please. The world hates Christ and they cared nothing for the preaching of God's word and calling men to repentance. As I preached Christ and stepped down, there was a nice lady that she brought us some cocoa and a sandwich. Isn't she a nice lady? She, yeah! She went down to Hogan Brothers and, well, her children saw us preaching there and her children ran and went and told her mom and their mother that we were preaching there. Well, she was in that Hogan Brothers and she came out. She thought it was just me. She didn't know there was other guys preaching there. So she brought some hot cocoa and a sandwich. I did split it with Dad though. I didn't eat it all. Right, Dad? I split that sandwich with you. I don't know what it was, but it was good. I still can't figure out what that give you some bread, she said. So Christ Mass fashion. Tried to breathe out. That's from Robin Hood. He said, well, I can, if somebody calls and complains, then we'll make you stop. And I can trespass you off of this place. I said, oh, really? What about that sidewalk over there? He said, well, that's different. What he was trying to do.
Anyway, that's talking about preaching during Christmas time and how you can go out there and preach the word of God and all these people that are going, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We have the Christmas spirit. You go out there and you start preaching the Bible, and I'm going to tell you what, that whole Christmas spirit thing starts to reveal itself, and it turns into the Grinch. Right? Turns into the Grinch, and they will eat you alive. Why? Because they don't want the truth of the gospel. They're okay with spending $7.4 billion on materialism, but not give any heed to the gospel, and they hate the gospel witness. That's just the truth. That's what we experienced over and over again. By the way, before I forget, don't forget to pray for us, because all the men of the church, or most of us, as many as can, New Year's Eve, we are going to be preaching, Lord willing, New Year's Eve, downtown Minneapolis. It's going to get real. So that's where we're going. We're going to be preaching New Year's Eve out there in downtown Minneapolis. Preaching the word of God down there in the open air, handing out gospel tracts, preaching late at night, early in the morning. We're getting ready, so we're excited about that. We're looking forward to that. But anyway, so remember, Jesus said, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So the deal is this, is that these people are not going to, the world hates Christ. And the truth of the matter is that they're always going to hate Christ. Boy, what was this one about? Jesus is the truth. Christmas, what would, man, I don't even remember this one. This was 2013. I wonder if I got any nicer a year later. Let's see. Maybe I did.
Chapter 18, and we're going to get started here. And today's going to be about, like it should be every day, but really what we're going to concentrate on is truth. I really felt led by the Lord to talk about truth here today and just really, you know, this is, do you realize that this time of the year is the most, where the most falsehoods and lies are told? Do you understand that at this time of year, that right now from December 21st to the end of the year are the darkest days of the year? They're the shortest days of the days of darkness. In fact, witches and warlocks and those, they understand that this is the darkest time. This is their time to celebrate at this time. A lot of people don't know that. But this time of year is that dark time that they do that. It's where the veil is the thinnest. Amen? During these times and where darkness is longer than light. Isn't that interesting? Darkness holds out longer than light does during this time of year. For the next, I think it's like four, maybe, I think it's a week. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But anyway, that's the time when you see, well, is it any wonder that during this time of the year where people call the holiday seasons where more people want to commit suicide? Depression? Why? Well, because the devil has these satanic days that he's used. In different, he's used these times, and they know it. The witches know it. You ask anybody in Wicca or witchcraft or anything like that, they just laugh at Christians. They think it's funny because they borrow their customs. Amen. They borrow their customs for this time of year. Now, that doesn't set well with people. They don't like that. They get mad when you talk about that. But let me ask you a question. Did they get mad at Jesus when he talked about truth? For some reason, we live in this day and age that if you get mad at me, then that means that what I'm saying is not true. Really? Well, that's funny because that's exactly what happened to Jesus Christ. When he spoke, they got mad and they acted like it wasn't true. But what he says is, my words are truth. Yeah. When the lady came over, there's a lady that came over yesterday. We'll talk about this in the second hour, too. She was plugging her ears. She stopped her ears. it's like a Bible verse, you know? I mean, she stopped, and I'll save it for later. But anyway, she stopped her ears and stomped her feet and came over there. And boy, she was mad. She was going to tell us how to do it. Well, we'll talk about that the next hour. I'll save that for then. John chapter 18, verse number 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king.
All right. So, you know, the Hebrew Israelites smoke too much weed, says somebody. Okay, yeah. I'm sure they do. The gospel does turn them all into a bunch of raging devils when you start to preach the gospel in the open air. Now, I realize there are some Christians that celebrate Christmas, and I get that, okay? My point is that the truth of the matter is when you watch this, we're not in agreement with the world. They don't like us, and they don't like what we stand for, do they? But they like Christmas. No, they don't really like Christmas. They like materialism. They like everything that goes along with it, but they don't like Christmas. Right? people say, well, you know, you need the spirit of Christmas. No. I don't have the spirit of Mary Christ's death. I have the spirit of Christ. John 15:24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. The world hates Christ, and the servant is not greater than his Lord. You know, if the world doesn't hate you, then you're probably not following the Christ of the Bible. Right? 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world is married to that idol of Christmas. It's really the most drunk-filled time of the year. It's the most drunken time of the year. And it really does have anything to do with Christ. When you look at the amount of depression, the amount of discouragement, and everything else that goes on, it really does have anything to do with Jesus. It really has nothing to do with the gospel. It has nothing to do with Christ. More people booze it up on Christmas than probably any other holiday besides New Year's Eve. They reject Christ's atonement, the world does. They will not have that man to rule over them, but they love to celebrate Christmas. The Bible tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate. Billions of people celebrate Christmas, and the bulk of them are no more saved than the devil is. They're fine with the babe in the manger because he's harmless, but the risen Lord, they want nothing to do with. I think another reason why it's important to be careful about this time of the year is this. Is that we should be separated from the covetousness and the idolatry. Right? You have a lot of people that they only give because they're forced to through some tradition. It's actually a phony giving. It's not from the heart. It's not because they love those people. It's because they feel as if they're obligated to give. Some 45% of people that were polled by MSNBC said the holiday season brings so much financial pressure, they would prefer to skip it altogether. Almost half said their level of stress related to Hollywood expenses is high or extremely high. And some 45% say they do not expect to have enough money set aside to cover holiday expenses. One news organization said that over 90% of Americans celebrate either Christmas, Kwanzaa, or Hanukkah. And Christmas today has become absolutely synonymous with materialism. I mean, you're talking hundreds of billions of dollars that will be spent, the National Retail Federation projects that hundreds of billions of dollars are spent. It really doesn't have anything to do with Christ. It's more of a tradition. And a lot of it is. With Christians, a lot of it is just family traditions. One of the things is that families have been so used to spending that time together that if they don't have that time together, they feel as if they're betraying, or their, you know, their family isn't complete, or something like that. You know, they miss that family time. Well, why can't you have other memories? You know? You certainly can have other times. You certainly can create new memories. And that doesn't mean that you have to destroy all the other memories that you had before. Right? Doesn't mean that at all. But it just means that if I'm going to worship Christ, it's going to be according to spirit and in truth. A huge chunk of the GDP of our nation occurs at this time of year. Most of it is spent on Christmas gifts. You know, you have these exchanges and these other things. Man, you know what I used to hate? When I went to school and I bought you public school, you had that gift exchange. Man, I always got the junky gift. You know, you go buy somebody a good gift, and then you get a junky gift. But, you know, they have these gift exchanges and all these other things. These couples, they exchange gifts. And nobody really, or these people, nobody really wants to do it that bad. They don't want to do it. They're just doing it because they're supposed to. Like, I never really got into Christmas. Maybe I just didn't really want to spend the money that much. I was like, I don't need anything. I was like, whatever. I don't need anything. I don't really want to do it. I never really liked it that much. And part of that, you see that it's not really a spirit of giving. It's like a spirit of force giving. It's kind of like you're forced to do that. And you really don't want to that bad. You know what I mean? There's really not this heavy desire to do that. It's more like you're just doing it because everybody else is. And it's force, it's this materialism that does, and it develops a lot of ungratefulness in children, I believe. I think it develops a lot of ungratefulness in children. I think it makes children more greedy. They think they're owed something all the time. You know, you got families go into just extreme amount of credit card debt to do that, maxing out their credit cards, trying to pay them off all year, getting into crazy amounts of debt. And those things happen, and then people have to deal with that. You know, and it's not biblical giving. It's not giving from the heart like somebody wants to. Right. So, you know, the point is that why be a part of it? You know, we got to teach our children about that. About proper giving and proper attitudes towards that. It's important. it's important to do that, I believe. You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. People racking up and paying 25% interest on credit cards that they're paying over for months. Right? The Bible says in verse Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And, you know, you talk about the spirit of Christmas, right? Well, shouldn't we be separated from that spirit of Christmas in that sense? The Bible says, beloved, in 1 John 4:1. Let's go there. We've read this verse many times. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Know ye the Spirit of God. Where did that come from anyway, that spirit of Christmas, that lingo? One Christmas, I read a newspaper article written by a reporter who had been searching for the meaning of the Christmas spirit. When he concluded his quest, he rated this answer as the best. It's in your heart. It feels warm and glowy. You can't buy it, and you can't get it from anybody else. Rosemary, the psychic medium, says, so here we are again, my favorite time of the year, Christmas. That magical time of Santa, toys, children, trees, tinsel, elves, and Rudolph, carols, and turkey. It was the night before Christmas, still sends thrills of delight as I think of my child waiting for Santa to come down the chimney a long time ago now, and magic was truly in the air, the true spirit of Christmas. Whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, or something else, perhaps even a different God, the lesson here still applies to you. This lesson is about the spirit of giving and receiving. So whether you celebrate Christmas or not, celebrate with me this Christmas time and take this month's lessons or apply it to your festivities, whatever they may be. We know that Christmas is a time for giving and receiving, a time to remember others less fortunate than ourselves. Peace in the world, a time for families to end their quarrels and come together, a time to celebrate the birth of Christ. We know all these things, and we know that this is also the true spirit of Christmas. That's from a Rosemary the psychic medium. Huh. Well, now. People say, are you in the spirit? Or they see all these lights up. Oh, man, those people are in the spirit. Right? Those people got the spirit, Luke. They're in the spirit. Bunch of mean people, probably drunk, but they got Christmas lights out. So they're in the spirit. Well, there's only two spirits in the world. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. 1 Corinthians 2:12 talks about a spirit. See 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. The spirit of Christmas is really the spirit of worldliness. It's the spirit of the world. You know, the Bible deals with Christmas in that, you know, or doesn't deal with Christmas, but there's things that are similar that really, I think, the same argument can be made of just they're vain traditions of men. They're really not after the rudiments of Christ. They're after the roots of the world and not after Christ. I really think that most people that celebrate it only do it out of family tradition. I don't think it really has a whole lot to do with anything else. I think it's mostly family tradition. And, I mean, I get it, and I don't think you should burn the house down for it with people. I don't think you should, you know, call them a bunch of pagans and everything else, because they're not. They may be learning the way of the heathen, but they're not heathen if they're saved and they understand the gospel. I believe they're just wrong. Right? They're just wrong. Anyway, so I guess those are just some more reasons and understanding that I can give you. It really is just a family tradition for a lot of people. It really is. And it's harder when you get women in the mix and grandma and grandpa and mom. And I mean, I'm telling you, it's hard on people to walk away from that. It really is. It's hard to walk away, and I understand that. I do. I get it. You know, I understand it. And I get why people, you know, can't really do that easily. Now, that doesn't mean it's right. But it becomes totally ingrained. Again, it's not something I'd leave a church for. It isn't something that I would, you know, do any of that for. But I think it's important to understand the truth, and it's important that we teach it to others. Right? The truth, if we can share it with them. All right, anyway, who's on here? Let's see. Anybody got any questions about anything? We'll give you a chance to ask some questions here, maybe, before we go. Any questions?
Chapter 18. And that's going to bring opposition. What is truth? Do we truly understand who Christ is? Do we? Do we realize that in him is truth and light and there is no darkness? This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We'll talk about it the next hour, but if I was doing something for good intentions, but it was a lie, would God honor that? No. Why? Because no truth is of a lie. No lie is of the truth. That's what he said. I didn't.
Owen asked me a question. Do you fast? Yes, I have. Not as much as I should, though.
Right. No lie is of the truth. Right.
Somebody asked the question, where can I find the gift tract? That should be online. I think Andrew got it up on our website. It's on there. If you go to, let's see, let me go there. I'll go there right now. Oops, let's see here. I don't see it on here, Luke. Must not be on here yet. Look, tell your dad we're pulling his pay. Oh, wait, he doesn't get any. Okay, never mind. I don't see it on there yet, unless I missed it somewhere. Owen asks the question, do you feel connected with the Holy Spirit? Do I feel it or am I? Like, do you revive visions or dreams sent by God? Little G-O-D, no. And I don't get visions and dreams sent by God. Through that, I have a King James Bible that has all the revelation that I need in it. And so, no, I don't follow visions and dreams. I'm not a charismatic.
Chapter 18. Start reading your Bible and understanding there's only two strands, the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness, and they're headed for a crash course. Boom! That's what they're heading for. Crash course, baby! Right to the end! That's what it's all about! Choose you this day whom you will serve! Pick a side! That's right. You pick a side, whose side you want to be on. That's what we have to do. That's what we've been called to do, is to be a light that shines! And that's going to bring opposition. What is truth? Do we truly understand who Christ is? Do we? Do we realize that in Him is truth and light and there is no darkness? This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. We'll talk about it the next hour, but if I was doing something for good intentions, but it was a lie, would God honor that? No. Why? Because no truth is of a lie. No lie is of the truth. That's what He said. I didn't write it. No lie is of the truth. Right. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you see that? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do to yourself. If you fight God, you're going to get wore out. I've met a lot of people that have fought God and fought the truth. And boy, are they wore out. Oh man, they're tired. They're tired. Why? Because just like Jesus said to Paul when He shined that light and He came, oh Paul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh Paul, you better give it up. You better give it up, Paul. The light shined unto you, Paul. You better give it up. God's given you that light. You better give in to that light. Stop fighting that truth, Paul, and give in to it. Because if you don't, it'll crush you to powder. If it falls on you, it'll break you and you'll be fine. But if you fight it, it'll crush you. It'll grind you to powder. There'll be nothing left of you. I've met people that keep fighting God. Keep fighting that light. We do not follow air, but we follow the Lamb wherever He goes. And Jesus would never approve of anything that was not the truth. Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. If you found out something was false, would you hate it? or would vain traditions of men and feelings and emotions be something that would hold you back from hating it? Good question to ask, isn't it? Now, by the way, that doesn't mean you have to make everybody's life around you miserable either. People aren't going to conform to the truth. They're not going to. People are going to fight it. I'm not going to go over to my family's house, and I'm not going to preach to them about it. Why? Because they won't listen. If you ask me the truth, I'll tell you the truth. If you want to know the truth, you'll get the truth. If you want to know why I don't do something and I'm not going to do it, I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you where I stand on it. But I've found that you will be more tolerant of where they stand than they will be of where you stand. You just remember that, because that's how it works. You will be hated or shown disdain, maybe not hate, but disdain for you standing up for the truth. Why? Because you are a light against them. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They don't like it. If you had a Christmas tree in your house and you invited me over to your house, I wouldn't say a word when I was there. I would not say a word. I might take a candy cane off of it. But I... if it was one of those cherry ones.
I would offer one to pick up.
You're too spiritual. Oh, you should have took it for Joey. He'd ate it. If it was a steak hanging on that tree, I'd ate it. But the big old venison stick hanging down, I'd have grabbed it. But it was something else. I couldn't have that. But you know what? I wouldn't say a word. I wouldn't. Why? It's not my home. I don't have to. I will stand for my family, and I will teach them the truth, but I'm not going to go over to somebody's house and try to manage their home. Hey, listen, we don't do this. We don't do this. I told my kids, when we were on the road, I said, listen, we're going to go to places, and some of these folks, they may celebrate Christmas. I don't want you to say anything to them. I don't want you to say that's pagan. I don't want you to get into all that. I don't want you to do that. I want you to keep your mouth shut and be kind. And we're not there to teach them that. We're not there for that purpose. You be kind to them. They may even hand you a present or something. You just take what they give you. Don't say a word about it and just move on. Don't fight. Don't say anything about it. Don't bring it up. Why? Oh, you scared of the truth? No, this is my family. What you do in your family is going to be up to you to decide. But what I do in my family is up to me to decide. And I will lead my home, whether my wife likes it or not. Not that she has a problem with it, but if she did, it wouldn't matter to me. I would still do it. Yeah. Amen! Right. Doesn't matter to me! What matters to me is truth! Yeah. Because I've said in my heart, I will live for you, God, and I will follow you wherever you go. That's right. But I'm not going to make everybody else around me miserable. I may not go about the customs that they do and do the things that they do. I don't have to either. And if they can't respect that, then I can't go around them. You know, if they're going to make it an issue or a point of contention, that's their problem, not mine. You know, that's me. Now, as far as this assembly goes, you'll never shut me up about it. Because this is what God has placed for me to do. So I whatever you do with that, you do. But don't get mad at me for telling the truth. Don't get mad at me for standing on the side of righteousness. If you do, then you have a hard heart to the truth. And I'm not your problem, friend. It's somebody else that you have a problem with. It's not me. That's right. I'll go away, okay, someday. God will lead me out of here someday or take me up someday or like some guy on YouTube wants to find me and stone me, he said he wants to throw a bunch of stones at me and kill me and yeah, he wants to kill me over Duck Dynasty and he said I won't come looking for you, but if I ever cross paths with you, you're gonna be in trouble.
Man, that was 6 years ago and I was still making people mad. Anyway, all right. Well, that was interesting, wasn't it?
from 6 years ago. Let's see. All right. Oh. Well, Stephen, you just be kind to them, and they can't really change your stand, what you believe is right. You just keep following what you believe is right, and according to the scriptures, and you just let it fall where it does. That's all we can do. Let's see. All right. Anyway, so I'm gonna get ready to take off here now. Wednesday, I don't know. I'm not observing Christmas, but Wednesday I've got a bunch of deer to grind up with a burger, to make burger with it or whatever, mix it with some other meat to make some burgers. So I'm not sure what time some of the guys are going to come over and help me. I think Dave is going to come over and help me, and we got about 3 deer worth of meat to grind up and turn into hamburger. So anyway, I'm going to tell you guys that, Owen, if you really want information, you can email me at pastorcooley@icloud.com, but I got this sneaky feeling that you're not being legitimate. So whatever, I could be wrong, but I got a lot of people that make fake accounts that want to come here and argue about things. If you are, then you can email me at pastorcooley@icloud.com, and I'll send you all the links that you need. But if you just type in the charismatic movement, you'll get everything you need. You'll get everything you need. So anyway, but I don't really have a lot of time to go through that right now. So go ahead and email me there and you can get the information you need. But I got a lot of people that just spam this page that want to talk about those things. And then they hit you with the 1-2 punch on the way out. Somebody else can look up your account to see if it's a real account. I don't know. It's just the way it goes. So, okay, if you're being 100% serious, then it won't be answered. A complete dissertation of the charismatic movement and speaking on tongues cannot be answered on this thread. But it can be answered by watching the videos, okay? So the videos are there, and all the teaching's been done there, and that's the best way to explain it. So that'll help you. So anyway, I don't know if I'll be on Wednesday or not. I might be. It just depends. Okay, if you want to learn Owen, then you can also go to the sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley page, and you can click on there, and you can go to sermons, you can go to series, type in Old Paths Baptist Church, Northfield, Minnesota. You can click on sermons. There's a button for series, and you can go to the charismatic movement. You can get the history of the charismatic movement. Yeah, Friday I'll be on there for sure. There's no problem with that. And I may be even on there on Wednesday. I may come on early. I just don't know what time everybody's showing up. And we're having our normal church services Wednesday. We don't have anything. Yeah, we don't have anything going on. We're not celebrating Christmas, so we'll be at church. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, you all have a good night, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll see you on Wednesday.